Peter Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about...
I'm here with Tim Myers. He's a 9, absolute legend of Glenbrook. So Glenbrook's up in the Blue Mountains. So you have Sydney on the eastern side of Australia, and there's a plain for about 70 kilometres, and then it rises up into a large, canyon system, plateau canyon system, which we call the Blue Mountains. And Glenbrook is the first city up in the top of the Blue Mountains, and it used to be a very small place around when Tim was a boy. And he's really the heart and soul, the history of our little community of the little village of Glenbrook, which is basically a little hidden valley at the top of the top of the first part of the mountains. I'm just going to go over to Tim just to say hello.
Hello, everybody. I'm talking from Glenbrook in the Blue Mountains, and I'm just going to give a few of my memories to be recorded here.
I'm going to ask Tim about the Knapsack Bridge. So the Knapsack Bridge, it's the most spectacular thing nowadays. There's a beautiful flat walk up to it, and in the bush is this beautiful, big, Victorian-era viaduct, and it's a massive thing. It's the most unexpected thing. It's the most beautiful sandstone bridge, and you go there. So nowadays, if you go in the Blue Mountains, you can turn off at Emu Plains and go up and see the Knapsack Bridge. It's an absolutely beautiful, massive bridge. It's not as big as the Harbour Bridge, but it's definitely a very large bridge, and that's the viaduct. So we're going to ask a few questions about that. Is that okay, Tim?
Yeah, the I've got to mention somewhere it was. They tell me about 100 men worked on it at one stage, and John Whitten put the railway through, he had to span the Knapsack Creek, so they had to build this Knapsack Bridge, which was they rigged up a crane out of the bush timber and lifted all the big blocks of sandstone up to build this bridge.
I was just going to say the bridge is easily 40 metres, 50 metres above the floor. Would you say that?
Oh, it was very narrow. It was only built in a hurry for one train to go across. But they when the main roads took over, they had a few accidents there because cars couldn't pass properly. They were scraping one another, and then they ordered the parapets. They ordered to put a bit more space on it, and then in 1938 they put new cantilevers out of the side and extended right across. So it was good what it is today. It's wide today.
It is a pretty amazing thing. And in the Glenbrook Historical Society, there's pictures of them putting out the cantilever. I've always wondered what it is. It is back in the 1930s. There's no trees about, but now there's trees everywhere. The trees have really grown up.
Mm. Yes, they improvised in the old days and seemed to get it done, but today they muck around saying it can't be done, I have to do this and another. But in the old days they got in and they found a solution very quickly to these problems.
Yeah, we're just up the road from it. I'll get shot by the head of the society for talking about it, but we just have up. They've been taking 6 months to put in a lift at the local station, so by comparison it's there. Now, just to put people in perspective, the main trains were the main way that the British Empire got goods and things around, and we had to get a train over the Blue Mountains. And the Blue Mountains have just suddenly erupted out of the plain, and they had to build a train and a zigzag. And John Whitten was the person who designed the railway. Over to you, Tim.
Yes, just an interesting thing. In the when they built the 1913 deviation through Glenbrook, when the train arrived in Glenbrook and you were coming up to Glenbrook for the say, a week or a weekend or something, the station master would tell you when you got off the train at Glenbrook, when you go back this afternoon, you've got to go up the highway and catch the train back to Sydney. There were two railway stations working. And that's how you got back up there onto the highway.
Okay, so I didn't realise there were two. So we can see from Tim's property, we're out here on this beautiful house porch here, and you're looking over the railway station. When does the little railway station... There's a railway station which goes down at basically a canyon, basically, from here. Very spectacular view. One of the great train journeys on the planet here. When did that train station start? The train station just down the road here.
1913 it was built. It was transferred, but because of the trouble with the tunnel leaking and trains being held up and not being able to pull through there and stalling, and there was a big accident in there, they decided to come bring it around, deviate it around the gorge. And I have photos of the station when I was down here, early station, and photos of recently of what it is now. There's a second stage, and now I haven't got any photos of this new stage. I haven't been fit enough to go down there and take any photos of what they're doing down there now. I don't know whether they let you anyway, but it's going to be quite different when they finish it with these lifts in it and, you know, quite a modern station from what it used to be.
What we'll talk about the railway. It's a fantastic town, or Glenbrook's here, because we had the water up here for the steam trains. However, what we're going to do is we're going to focus on Knapsack Bridge a little bit. And there's beautiful stories Tim told last time of guards in World War II guarding the bridge. So we'll take it from there.
Well, during the World War II, they had guards on the bridge and used to stop cars coming through and ask you where you're going, what you're doing, etc. There was a 24/7 guard on it, and they slept down there under the bridge to that quarters there under the bridge where they could be on duty all the time, and you couldn't come up through there unless you were checked out. But the tunnel also, the Glenbrook Tunnel, which is going back to the railway tunnel was guarded too during the war years. People don't know much about that either, but that was guarded.
And do you think there's, say, old remnants of the old barracks underneath the bridge, or do you think that may have gone by now?
There's nothing there now to show, but son of the fellow, his father was the one who was on the bridge guarding it. He told me that there was a cave. He thought they had a cave somewhere up the creek where they sort of slept and lived. But I don't know of any cave up that creek. And the only solution I could come to, they slept under the bridge. They must have turned that into quarters, because they wouldn't walk too far from way up the creek back down to the bridge every time they had to check it. So there had to be somebody on guard there all the time, I believe. He tells me 24/7. So, because I didn't have a car, I didn't drive a car down those days, so I don't know whether, I've never got no really personal contact with somebody that was pulled up there. They did talk to a couple of people who did confirm later on that lived here for years, that they were there during the war, but the railway, the road were very important to the services, because that's the only way they could get past here to Bathurst, and they could move their troops without if they didn't have the road or the railway, so they had to make sure they weren't blocked off. They were very important.
We'll have a chat about various hermits who lived up here during the war, and the war hospitals up here. I think that we'll wrap that up for the bridge. And it is a beautiful bridge to come and see. So you can stop at Emu Plains and go for a beautiful flat it's a wheelchair friendly walk, or you can actually do quite a spectacular walk down from a lookout at the end of Lover's Walk, and you can actually walk up around the RAAF base. That's another piece of military story we'll tell you a bit later. That's all for today. I hope that's nice. Done an excellent job. Do you want to say goodbye to the people overseas?
Say goodbye, and well, you'll hear more from me later on. I'm sure Peter intends me to do more talks about old Glenbrook, so you'll hear more later on from me. Thank you.
Okay, look, and that's right. I'm just going to have a shot. You've heard me struggle away with rehab, getting a little bit better on things, and hopefully in future we'll be really schmick in doing interviews. Another podcast, another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.